Okay, so let's get started. All right, the previous year, we really dealt with defining, what's the point? What's the why of Kiddushin? Why do we do it? Right, and really, what came out very, very strongly, I believe, was that Kiddushin is an oser, right? Kiddushin is really there to create commitment. It's there to create sanctity, and creating the commitment, creating the sanctity, right, is in many ways. Sort of either like a precursor to Ishos, or it's an added part of the Ishos itself. Okay. And what we want to do though is figure out, okay, we figured out why, right? Kiddushin is around to create commitment, create sanctity. But the question is, what is Kiddushin also, right? It's very good to know why we do it, but what is it exactly? Right, we're going around creating commitment and sanctity. There are different ways to do that, to accomplish that. Right, just because we're creating sanctity doesn't mean, that there is like one exclusive way to conceive of that. And then again, right, whatever it is that we are doing, how are we doing that? Okay, so in terms of the what is it? Right. Is it, let's say, is it, what sort of legal mechanism is it? And then again, what are we doing in order to accomplish that? What tools are we doing to do that? Okay, we're going to see in a second exactly what I mean by the difference between the what and the how. Okay, but that's going to be a key question in our sugya, right? Sometimes I'm saying, oh, what is Kiddushin? What does it do? Right. Not only why do we have it, but what is it? But then how do you go about triggering it? Okay. Sometimes triggering something, right, pressing a button on, on a machine might be how you turn on the machine, but it's not what the machine does, right? The machine makes matzahs. How you go about turning it on is you connect it to electricity and you press the on button, right? Those are different things. Now, again, why does the machine do all the things that it does? Because you press the button, right? But pressing the button isn't what's happening. The making of matzahs is, what the machine's doing. It turns out the matzahs. And why are we doing that? Because, matzah ki, ki b'chipazon hotzei yisrochem eretz Mitzrayim. Okay? So we want to know, we got the why, we got the commitment and sanctity, but we want to know what it is that Kiddushin is that creates this commitment and sanctity, and how are we going to go about doing that? Okay? Now, within all that, there's the question sort of how do we conceive exactly of the impact of the why on what comes later, right? So, right, we know that, there are three different like components, let's say, of the creating commitment and Kiddusha, right? Creating repercussions and consequences. She's also Kuli Alma. Right, there are Yisrei Erva and other on their different relatives. There's an Yisrei Shesish, right? There's the necessity of a get, Shalotei Kalabein of Lotzia, right? The Chiv of Ksuva, according to the Rambam, creates repercussions, consequences. It also formalizes the Ishos process, right? As we saw in the Smack, it's very important also for Ishos to be something that has a real formal, serious process to it. Right? You can't just go, oh, I'm married, oh, I'm not. Right? There has to be part of the creating commitment is that there's a formal process of entering into Ishus. And the Rambam's idea that's very much about creating Isser. Now, what's important about that is, oh, wait a second. Okay. We'll see in a second. But the more that you want to say that it's about creating a formal process, let's go back for one half a second, right? But creating a formal process, the more we're going to look for Kiddushin and say, oh, how does it create this formal process? On the other hand, right, we might be able to learn less from what is Kiddushin about the nature of marriage as a whole, right? If it's just a formalization of the process, we don't necessarily have as much to go on, right? In terms of saying, oh, the formalization of the process clearly shows us X, Y, Z. Okay, that's the formalization of the process, but right? Legally, you have to do things. Like going to a judge is not like, oh, the essence of marriage, right? That's still the formalization of the process. For the Rambam, right, the Derech, the Isser, it's a little bit hard to know, right? Because on one hand, the Rambam sees it as detached from Ishus. On the other hand, right, because it's an Isser that comes before marriage. On the other hand, you know, how are we creating this Isser, right? And the more you want to, you know, build it in as part of Ishus, the more it's going to reflect on marriage as a whole. Okay? Just bear that in mind. Tila, do you have a question? Rachel. Sure.
Oh, I just wanted to understand the difference between Hekef and Ofeyadin. I don't. What is the translation of that? And then.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so this is.
To me, they look like the same thing. Though.
Just like doing it in the Hebrew. Ofeyadin is like the nature of the din, right? You can have like, what's the reasoning? Why did God say this? Why did God say to do this? Then the question is sort of, okay, what's the nature of this din? What are we accomplishing? What are we doing? And the Hekef Adin is more about the legal parameters. What cases are included? What cases are not? What actions will accomplish us? What actions will not? All right, so this is much more of the range of details, of rules within it. Where does it apply? How does it apply? All right, the Ofi Adin is much more like, what's its nature? And the Tam, right, is the why.
Okay.
Why do we do this? Okay, it's much very similar to what we are
okay. doing for
Hebrew. Okay. Okay, just right off the bat, the Gemara is very, very interesting. Right? The Mishnah says, Isha nikneis b'shlosha drachim, kones atma b'shtei drachim, nikneis b'kesef, b'shtar u'bibiyah, b'kesef, b'shame omer b'dina, b'shav dina, b'shil omer b'pruta, b'shav pruta, v'kame hi pruta echer mishmona b'isa, italki, less important, kones atma b'get u'bimisa sabal, hayavama nikneis b'biyah, kones atma b'chalitza b'misa hayavam. Okay? So the Mishnah starts off with, Isha nikneis b'shlosha drachim. So the Gemara asks, Haisha Niknes, Maishna Hacha Detani Haisha Niknes, Maishna Hasam, the beginning of the second parak, right, Hesh Mikadesh, Detani Hesh Mikadesh. Right, why are we talking here about Niknes, Lashram Kinyan, and later on, and the entire rest of the Masechta and everywhere else in Shas, we talk about Kiddushin, right, not Kinyan, right? Hesh Mikadesh, there's something called Kiddushin from the Lashon of Kid of Kiddush, right? Making something holy and hektish, as opposed to Kinyan. So why here are we of all places, right? The only place basically in Shas where we start talking about Niknes. So the answer is Mishun Debay Limisni Kesef, because we wanted to talk about Kiddushe Kesef. The Kesef Minalan, how do we know that Kiddushe Kesef right exists? Gamar Kicha Kicha Miste Afron. We learn now from Kicha Kicha Miste Afron. It's hekesh to stay afron. Ksiv hacha, no, sorry, gzer shava. Ki yikach ish isha. Ksiv hasam natati kesef asada kach mimeni. It's one ki yikach ish isha. And it talks about kichas hakesef. So, right, we're sort of assuming that those two kichas are the same pa'ula, the same action going on. V'kicha ikri kinyan. And kicha means kinyan. Ksiv hasada shar kana Avraham. Inami sados bas kesef yiknu. Or, you have a pasuk of Sados by Kesef Nik Yiknu, right? Sados are Nikna by Kesef. So you see that Kesef, that Kicha is Kinyan, and Kesef can be a Kinyan. Okay? So there's Tani Haisha Niknes. That's why it says Haisha Niknes. Venisni Hasam Haish Kone. Why don't we say Haish Kone? Right? Mikara Tani Lishna Do Raisa. Well, what's up, Tani Lishna Do Rabbana? First, we want to start off with the Lishna Do Raisa. We wanted to say, oh, Haisha Niknes, because we wanted to use Lashon Niknes to reflect the language used in the Torah. And Ulubasov Tani Lishna Darabanan. Okay, and then later we wanted to say, oh, there's this Lashon of the Rabbanan, which is Mikadesh. My Lishna Darabanan, Asr La Kule Alma Kehektesh. She's Asr Du Kule Alma Lehektesh. Okay, Venisni Achelish Kone, Vishum de Kabay Lemisna Seifa, the Kone Satsma Bidida, Tananam Risha Bidida, Venisni Ish Kone Umakne. Right? He's dead. He can't be makne. Ibaseima or itana kone have a mina filabal karcha, tana isha nicknames to midai to inshal midai to low. Okay. Very interesting shakavataria, very difficult to understand. Okay? Because as we're gonna see in a second, not all of these we kind of were forced linguistically, basically, at least according to the Pshat of the Sugya, to talk about Kinyan, and we're also forced linguistically to dafka talk about Kinyan, you know, from Haisha Niknes, not Haish Kone, right? For more linguistic reasons, right? But Okay, but why are we talking about Kenyan at all? Because we wanted to talk about Kenyan Kasef, and we wanted to use something called Lishna Daraisa, but later on we wanted Dafka use the Lishna Darabana. Okay? So right off the bat, we kind of have this very intense juxtaposition that the Gemara is making between there's Lashon Kenyan, there's Lashon Kiddushin. All right, one is about there's Kenyan, I don't know, you can translate acquisition, right, creation of a Kenyan between them, right? We're going to get into that a little bit. But that's one thing. We want to say that. We want to use that Lashon. But then, right, we also, that's Lashon D'Oraisa. We also want to use Lashon D'Rabbanan of Kiddushin and Hekdesh. Okay? So it's a very just sort of off the bat, like, you know, from like a gut instinct perspective. It's sort of like, oh, is it Kenyan? Is there some sort of acquisition? Right? Doesn't sound so nice, but let's presume for the moment that that's what it means. Then we want to say there's a Kenyan, right? And then we might just like, okay, but we also, it's, there's also Lishon D'Rabbanan of Hekdesh, right? Where it's sanctity, it's not, you know, formal acquisition or buying or acquiring. You don't acquire a spouse. You sanctify your relationship. You're Mekadesh, right? Which is a very, very stark contrast. Now, part of the starkness of the contrast is, what does it mean for there to be Kenyan in Ishus? Right? If Kiddushin is a Kenyan, then I understand Mekadesh, right? That's easy. But why Kenyan? So one option is basically to say, okay, there's a Kiddushin, there's like the Hekdesh part of Ishus, and there's a Kenyan aspect, right? And you could split between them. And that's why we have Lishon D'Oraisa and Lishon D'Rabbanan. We have talking about it as Kiddushin, and we've talked about it as Hekdesh, right? And Kenyan is acquisition, right? You know, a man, once he's in possession of a good fortune, must also, you know, be in want of possessing a wife. So yes, in a chanami, right? Maybe there's some sort of acquisition going on. Okay. Now, the concept of there being Kenyan here is a lot easier to understand what role it's playing in marriage, according to the Rambam. Why? You can cheat by looking at the chart, but I take away the chart and you won't be able to see it. Yeah.
Oh, well.
You already saw the chart.
There's no Ishus in the Kiddushin.
Right, very good.
Yeah, I know, but it's on the chart.
Yeah, but anyway, let's just elaborate.
Oh, shoot. I just was reading it.
Exactly. It's like a trick question. So I give you the chart, but then I take it away, and then you have to elaborate.
So whatever Ishus is, which that's not happening during the stage of Kiddushin. So it's because it's detached from the Ishus, it's like it's a different action. So we don't really care what it has to do with marriage.
Well, also if you're thinking about it in terms of Hekdesh, it's not something that's giving you specific rights over anything. It's just saying this is special. If anything, it's removing rights from you.
Also good. Yeah, fair. I'm going to focus on the Hekdesh, but on the Kenyan side. But yes, because Hekdesh is easier to, I think, to understand or to fathom. But yeah, so what Rachel's saying is, according to the Rambam, we just decided that Irisin, right, is an Isser. You're just being Oser. It's totally, you know, before the marriage. They're not married yet, essentially, right? Legally they are, but it's totally before the marriage part of marriage. Right? They're just, you know, there's a legal Ishish status, but ultimately Erisin is an Oser, right? So the fact that the Oser might have a Kenyan aspect or, right, be partially on Alide Kenyan, or it can be called a Kenyan in Lishna D'Oraisa is not so crazy, right? Not so surprising. It's actually relatively easy to say, okay, you know, there's the Kenyan is what affects the Iser. I'm saying it's not so. If we're talking about an Isser, so how are you Oser things? So I don't know, right? We don't have so much experience in creating Isurim, but it's again into the actual details we're going to definitely get. I'm saying as a gut instinct, right? We're less sort of like taken aback by the possibility of saying, oh, Kenyan is a necessary, is the way in which we create an Isser. Yeah, Tehillah.
I didn't hear when you exactly phrased the question, so I might be going on a tangent. But when I hear just the shot idea of Lishna Dorota being about Kenyan and Lishna Darabanan being about being Mekadesh, it kind of makes me question the idea that the designation is intuit, like, is like part of the Kenyan. It almost seems like there's two phases. There's like the him acquiring him for her, and then the Oser is like some other step that like the Rabbanim added in to, into the Kenyan. So like, I'm not sure if the Oser is in, like inherently built in, or maybe the, I don't know. Are we distinguishing between the Oser to him and the Oser to everyone else?
So, okay, maybe you could go in that direction. Right now, we're kind of assumed that like Kiddushin is one, is more or less one thing, right? And it's both Kenyan and Mekadesh, right? The question is, what's the point of Kenyan if it's there to be, if it's part of Ishus, right? If we're taking like the Rambam's approach that it's an Oser, so it's not so hard to understand how you can have a Kenyan be the Oser. That's all we're trying to go for now. We're not trying to explain exactly how it breaks down.
Okay, but are we going to address what the significance of using like the terms Lishna Dorota versus Lishna Darabanan? Because I find those very interesting.
Yes, exactly. We're going to definitely get into that. And I'm just saying that from an a priori perspective, before we get into the trying to make everything work, right? For the Rambam's perspective, where we took Erisin and we said, oh, there's Erisin, but that's not marriage, right? Explaining how marriage is created through a Kenyan is more difficult than explaining how an Oser can be created through a Kenyan, right? If we're just trying to make an Esser, so you can say, oh, okay, that's how we make an Esser, right? If we're asking how do you make a marriage, then it's a little bit more surprising to say, oh, Kenyan is part of how we make a marriage, right? Great. Now, if you take like the Smag's perspective, that fundamentally the Ishus is the Nisuin, right? Which is similar to the Rambam, except that it's effected in a formal sense by Kiddushin, right? Kiddushin is the way in which we effect formally Ishus, right? But really Ishus is Nisuin. So again, it's less surprising, right? Because again, we could say there's a Kenyan. The Kenyan is the legal formal way in which we go about doing, right, creating the marriage, making it legally binding, right? But it's not marriage. Marriage is really Nisuin. Kiddushin is a way to formalize the process. Right? So using a Kenyan to formalize the process is, again, less surprising to us. Right? We have to explain it. We have to explain what's going on. Right? But again, it's not so surprising, or it's not so dissonant with what we already know. Right? The real question, the biggest question, comes according to the Ramban. Right? Because the Ramban said that what is Kiddushin, right? Kiddushin is half of marriage. Right? Marriage is half Kiddushin, half Nisuin. It's lechetzi of the mitzvah, right? Then we're already saying that Kiddushin is part and parcel of marriage, right? And what it's effecting is marriage, not just, right, something of formal status, and not just an Isser, right? But, right, the essence of marriage is already, you know, you're already half married. Now, if you take like Rabbi Chiyumi Pariz's perspective, the whole marriage is in the Kiddushin, really, right? And Nisuin is just a matir later on. In which case, also, we have to explain, why is it that we're creating marriage through Kenyan? Not only in a form, as like a formal legal way, sense, but also as this is, there's Ishus, right? Ever get that? And the more we detach the Erisin from marriage, from Ishus, the less we have, you know, a big challenge. The more that we connect it directly to Ishus, the more we have to say, wait a second, you know, why is Kenyan part of, not just part of the process of getting marriage, but the essence of marriage itself? Okay, I'll show the chart and that might clarify a little bit. Right, when it comes to if Erisin is an Oser and it's independent of Nisuin and Ishus, then we don't really need to explain so much. I mean, we need to explain it, but it's not so difficult to conceive of how we're going to explain it, right? Because the Kenyan could be the Oser, right? Kenyan's job is to create the Isser, making Isser a Kenyan, less difficult. If Erison and Nisuin together create marriage, so if it's just about the formalization of marriage or the practical, you know, there's the practical marriage, you know, and the reality of and the formalization thereof, right? Like what the smack sounds like. So in Kenyan could be the formal legal process that's involved, right? Just like going to a judge and having him sign some documents creates marriage. Even though that has nothing to do with marriage, ultimately speaking, right? But the, you know, the signing of the documents with the judge is legally what creates it. But it's not the practical reality of Ishus at all. But if you think there are two parts of Ishus, right, and marriage, right, is really half made up of Kiddushin and half made up of Nisuin, like the Ramban, or it's all made up of Kiddushin, like Rabbi Chilmi Pariz, so then how is Kenyan going to be part of that? So either, so you have two options. One is we could say, oh, okay, first of all, you know, assuming that Kenyan means acquisition, maybe, you know, maybe, yeah, in a Hanami, maybe we, you know, we're too romantic and we need to, you know, put on our Charlotte Lucas glasses and say, you know, I'm not a romantic, Lizzie. And yeah, all I ask is a comfortable home and acquisition and, you know, mutual obligations are totally relevant here. And that's gufa part and parcel of marriage, right? Maybe we're too romantic. Or, and this is really, I think, the more compelling option, which we'll see, is that, right, what does Kenyan actually mean? Right, we're very biased because, you know, we went to classic... classic modern yeshivos. And they taught us Baba Kama and Baba Metzia and Baba Basra and Sanhedrin, you know, and that's it, you know. And we didn't do as much, Kachim and the rest of Shas that we should have. So we're very, very used to seeing Kinyanim as part of torts. But maybe Kinyanim, right, are a lot more broad and a lot more meaningful than we're used to thinking of them. Those are really our options. But there, if it's part and parcel of the Ishus, then we really have to grapple with that. Right? That's something that actually needs much more explanation. Okay. How could we explain this? Right? So again, right, one thing that helps us a lot in understanding what's going on is that we already know why we do Kiddushin, right? And the purpose of Kiddushin is not to acquire a wife, right? It's to create commitment and Kiddusha. So in the time of Kiddushin, we already know that the purpose is to create commitment and Kiddusha, right? So our questions really are, how does it do it? Right? And how are we going about doing that? Now, if the Kenyan component is part of the identity of Kiddushin, of the Ma, what is Kiddushin? Right? So say, okay, why, you know, this is part of what Kiddushin is. Or Kenyan might not really be part of what Kiddushin is. It might be part of how Kiddushin is accomplished. Right? Meaning when I talk about, Kenyan is part of Kiddushin, do I mean that Kenyan is part of what Kiddushin is, or it's part of how Kiddushin is, how you go about doing Kiddushin, right? If it's about what Kiddushin is, right, that's going to be much more, I want to say much more interesting, but, you know, it is going to be much more interesting. It's going to be something that requires much more analysis than if we're simply saying that Kenyan is part of how Kiddushin is brought about. If it's about how we create the Kiddushin, is Kenyan, right? So you can say, oh, well, really, you're being Mekadesh. Now, what might only be Mekadesh, right? You're doing Kiddushin. And the Kenyan is simply a mechanism, right, through which we accomplish doing Kiddushin. Okay? Meaning you could be doing a Kenyan that creates Kiddushin, right, for the purposes of creating commitment and Kiddusha. In which case, right, the Kenyan aspect is much more ancillary. Okay, and we're going to really get into this in the Rishonim. Okay, so just So just questions. Sure. Rachel.
So if we're saying that Kenyan is a mechanism, I feel like that just makes the question of why is the Lishna de Oraisa Kone even greater? Because if I was the de Oraisa, I would definitely want to include like the end result, not the mechanism.
Yes or no, right? Sometimes the Torah wants to tell you what you're doing,
right,
and not how to do it. And sometimes the Torah is much more concerned with telling you how to go about doing it and less about why you're doing it, right? Or in different places, it'll tell you different parts.
Right.
For example, Ayin Tachasayin, we're telling you like why we're doing it, but we actually don't tell you at all what you're doing, right? What you're doing is actually you're charging his bank account a few million dollars, right? Why we're doing it.
To me, that makes sense, though.
Have your eye, you know, your hand cut off and your eye put out, right? So there, you're right. The Torah dafka tells you the why and ignores or only hints at the what. Right, it's like
a right, but it's not like a hard and fast rule.
Torah Shebichtav is like a perush on Torah Shebaal Peh. Right, it's telling you what we're trying to accomplish, even though it's not actually telling you what we do. Lemaisa, it's like a classic. Like Torah Shebichtav is much more concerned about the lamdos. Torah Shebaal Peh is like concerned with halacha lemaisa. Right, that's your question.
When you say lamdos, yeah, right. So what you're saying just supports the question.
Yes, but then the answer is
that Torah Shebichtav is all about.
It's not a hard and fast true, hard and fast rule. Torah Shebichtav likes the halacha lemaisa and the lamdos. The trick is, you know, is having them both in there, right? What's gishmak then is that the Gemara is saying, like on the one hand, you know, there's the lishna d'oraisa which tells us the how, but there's the lishna d'rabanan that like tells us the what. What you're doing is kiddushin, right? But how you're doing it is Aidei Kenyan. So then we want to tell you the Lishna D'oraisa, because that's important, right? We need to tell you how to do it, and the mechanisms being used, even though, right, what you're really doing is Kiddushin, and the actual mechanics of creating Ishos is being done through Kiddushin, not a Kenyan. The Kenyan is a way to do the Kiddushin. Right? Now that's not the only, right, that's one side of the chart. The other way is say no, right? Part of the what is Kenyan. Yeah, Tila.
The fact that the second half of the Mishnah, the Kona et Atzma, hints to the fact that just the Kenyan alone is enough to get rid of both the designation and, you know, the marriage itself. So what does that say about, like, what Kiddushin itself is?
Well, first of all,
Kona, or the Kenyan itself. I don't know, like, how close the Kenyan is tied to Kiddushin.
Right. Well, interesting question is Kiddushin and Kenyan ever actually undone? The Kones Atzma, right, is an interesting question, because are we really undoing Ishus when we give a get? This goes back to 2 years ago in the Gin days, right? Is a get undoing the Ishus, or is it a matir? Right? Can you ever actually undo Ishus, or can you simply undo enough of it that it, they're no longer, you know, that the Isser doesn't apply and she's mutter, or that, that you know, it's a matir and it's just like, right? Torah says, you know, under these circumstances, there's no Isser anymore, but their marriage actually still sort of remains. Right? Nafkamina for like Maxi Grushaso. How do you understand Maxi Grushaso? Right? The Torah seems to imply that Maxi Grushaso is over, is like Sota, right? It's like she got married to somebody else while they were married, but they weren't married in between. Right. So the way it seems like in the Gemara in Yivamos is that when they get remarried, they're actually returning to their original marriage. Okay. And if the husband dies, then we would treat it as if you think that Yibam goes after the beginning of their marriage, we would treat it as if the beginning of their marriage was the first marriage, not the second marriage. Okay? Meaning that when, even they're Megaresh, right? But if they get remarried, it's not that they're starting a brand new relationship. They're actually reviving their old relationship. Okay? Now, what that means is, that means that it's very tricky to understand. When we say Kones Atzma, is it Kones Atzma and it undoes everything that's been before? Or no, she's Kones Atzma as a matir, right? That doesn't undo the marriage. It doesn't undo their relationship, right? Actually, I think that would definitely be a proof in the opposite direction. Atila is saying, and she's Kones Atzma, doesn't it mean that just like the Kenyan, right? If the Kunas Atzma, sorry, is the complete Matir at the end, so doesn't it mean that it's the complete Ishus in the beginning? Right? If Kenyan is Matir Legamri, then maybe that's the whole Ishus Legamri also. So I think it's the opposite. It proves the opposite way that Dafka, the Kona at the end is a Matir, but it doesn't undo the actual marriage. The actual marriage actually in many ways still remains. It's also Yushami that says that, right? That she's mutter, but she's not really like married to him at all. He always remains your ex.
Okay, so I don't know exactly about the Makora, but the fact that while she's like, if it doesn't completely undo the marriage, she still can get married to somebody else.
Yes.
So I think that speaks towards Kiddushin being much like the central legal component, and that kind of makes me question what Nisuin on its own, even like what power does it have beyond like,
it could be the relationship, you know, it could be the marriage and the relationship
together.
That's not the Isra Ishish, right? The Isra Ishish, so the actual Isser, right, is from Kiddushin.
So she's like still married to somebody else while she's like Usher to him and Matar to somebody else?
In a sense, yeah. Right? She's the, you know, she's there. That's why also, right, after she gets divorced, she's, so there's a status of Grusha. And if she gets remarried, she can't get remarried to him if she marries somebody else. There's actually another, there's like also, the Yushalmi says, your question is a very good question. Yushalmi actually answers that and says that when she marries somebody else, that destroys the remnants of their original marriage. And it sounds like from the Yushalmi,
I think that strengthens my like hypothesis about the actual Nisuin itself not very holding a lot of legal power.
No. I mean, you're right that in terms of the nafkaminas, it has less of the nafkaminas. But in terms of the essence of marriage, it's the essence of marriage. Why? The only thing that can break the first Nisuin is her marriage to a new person. The only way to destroy your relationship with the first guy is if she gets married to someone else. Even though, right, the Isser is undone through the get. The Isser of the Kiddushin is undone through the get, but the actual Ishus is only undone by a new Ishus. And it might be the reason why she can't get remarried to him after she gets married to somebody else is because, like, once you burn your bridges, which only happens if she gets remarried to somebody else, then their Ishus is totally destroyed, and then, like, you burn your bridges, you can't go back. I think this actually very strongly supports the idea that Irisin might be the Oser, might be like the legal, like, Isra Ishish, no Isra Ishish. But in terms of the content of Ishus, of marriage, it's actually much more dependent on, right, the relationship. And the Ishus might just only be, the Irisin might only be a trigger to that. Again, you don't have to say that. You can say, no, really, Kiddushin is the whole thing, right? But what you're bringing up, which I would have assumed a priori, right, is actually, in terms of the, like the other Makoros, right, the Gittin stuff actually supports the idea that the Matir is in and of itself not sufficient to destroy their Isha / relationship. It's just Matir. We'll continue, okay? And I think it's going to come up a lot this year. Okay. So how do we deal with this whole, Lishna D'oraisa? So Rashi, I think, just says, yeah, that's linguistics. Rashi, I think, is not so, isn't overly excited by Lashon Kenyan. Rashi says, Ramashna Hasam Beperek Sheni, Detano Haish Mikadish, Bo Ubishlucho, Nisni Hacha Ishim Miskadeshes, Yishim de Kabayl Misni Kesef, Bahani Kenyanin, Darmina Lekaman, Kesef Minelon, De Nicknates Bo Marfashina, De Gamrinan Kicha Kicha Miste Ephron, De Ikri Kenyan, Hilkach Tanahacha Kenyan. It's called a Kenyan. So here also we use the Lashon of Kenyan. Why? Now, just another one, right? Kesef Minavan, Lav Hacha Kabayla, Elekaman, Hacha Maimitaretz Kamala, the Kula Milsa, Mishum de Kabayla, Misni Kesef, the Kesef Minavan, Yefila, Lakaman Mikicha, the Kicha Lashon Kenyan, who? Hilkach Tani Haisha Nicknes. Also, Rabbeinu Hanana has like a same sort of structure. We want to reference you to Kesef. Okay? Kesef is called a Kenyan. And since we want to resonate with the Lashon of Kiddushei Kesef, as mentioned in the Torah. So we're using that language. Right? It's a pedagogical tool. We want to resonate with the Lashon of Kesef. And the way to do that best is to use the Lashon of the Pasuk. Right? We're not really talking about Kenyan, right? Ishus, Erisin is done all day. Kidushin, right? Asura l'kuleyama kehektish, right? It's a sanctification. It's a hektish, right? It's a kiddush. But the language that we want to remind you about the pasuk is Lashon Kenyan. Now, why actually does it make a lot of sense for Rashi to think that's very important? So it turns out Rashi's Rebbeim were of the opinion that Kiddushei Kesef are only Midrabanan. Okay? Now, the significance of that is, Rashi very strongly argues, Rashi says, no way, right? Kiddushei Kesef are Daraisa, Legamri, but if Kiddushei Kesef is Darabanan, or if Kiddushei Kesef is like borderline and you might have thought it's Darabanan, it makes a lot of sense for us to go out of our way to say, oh, we want to like resonate with the Lashon of Kiddushei Kesef to tell you that they're a real way to do Kiddushin. Right? So for a pedagogical reason, we want you to reference, we want to start our discussion of Kiddushin off with a reference to Kiddushei Kesef, right? And to not only reference it as part of the list, but to sort of give it prominence as the first of the list and as the one that resonates with the Pasuk, and to show you that it resonates with the Pasuk, because there's a series, there are actual Shittos who think this, and right, therefore it's clearly a real Havamina, that maybe Kiddushei Kesef isn't Kiddushin Daraisa. Okay? In which case, though, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your perspective, that kind of ruins our whole shiur. We can sort of just close our computers and go, and we won't have like a really gishmak pilpul about whether or not Ishus has is built on Kenyan or not. Rashi says, oh, it's Kiddushin. But, right, and that's why in all of Shas, we always use Lashon Kiddushin, right? Esh Mekadosh Bo B'Shlucho, literally the whole Nesh the Masechta and the whole rest of Shas always talk about Kiddushin, right? But this one time, we want to make that point about Kiddushei Kesef, okay? I guess it's, on the one hand, it's good. Yeah. I'm just going to say one thing. The point we're making
is Kiddushei Kesef.
And one of it's great in terms of understanding the sugya, because, you know, okay, the Mishnah is, right, the Mishnah in general, right, has a very terse language, and it tries to, right, convey certain very subtle points, right, through its phraseology, right, especially everyone has to remember, you know, learn the Mishnah Baal Peh. So if I want to, like, drive home a certain point, right, so I have to, you know, formulate it just right, and that's why we're using Lishna Doraisa to emphasize that Kiddushei Kesef is Doraisa. But ultimately, in terms of the Lamdas, in terms of the Sugya, in terms of the rest of the year, when we talk about Kiddushin, we're talking about Kiddushin, right? Not Kenyan. And it's Mekadesh. Right? The action that you're doing is you're being Mekadesh, you're not being Kone. And Anisha is Mitkadeshet. And we just need to talk about why is Kiddushin going to create Erison / marriage. Yeah, Rachel.
Just because you mentioned the Rebbeim of Rashi, they thought that Kiddushei Kesef is their Rabbanan, but how do they read this Mishnah if it's directly correlating it to the Raisa? Like, can they say this Mishnah is really saying the Rabbanan?
You could say that, right? I mean, that's the problem is that it's very difficult to say that Kiddushei Kesef is Darabanan. But if you think that, then you say, oh, this mission says, Kesef Minalan, and it, you know, learns it out from it's Lashon Kicha, and it's Nasmachta. Right? And then, why did the Mishnah Dafka do it? Right? Dafka, maybe because we want it to resonate. If it's the most tenuous, it's the one we have to put the most effort into. You know, into making resume. Especially if it's only Darabanan, we want to say, oh, it's Darabanan, but like, it works nicely with the Pesukim. It works nicely with the concept, with the Lishna Daraisa, You know, I think for Rashi, Rashi would say, no, dafka, the mission is saying that it's the Raisa. Like, but for the Rebbeim, they could totally understand it the same way and just say, oh, no, dafka, we're trying to, you know, give it more legitimacy, even though it's only Darabon. Or technically, it's only Darabon. Or the Rambam has this lesson of, like, it's Divrei Sofrim, right, where it's like, it's not Mefurash Bakra, but it is the Raisa. Right? The other thing that this does for us is linguistically, what does this say about Kinyan? Right, if really we're talking about mitkadeshet, right? But lishan daraisa, we want to say, oh, but like linguistically, right? It's ikri kinyan. What does that mean about kinyan? If really all that's going on is mitkadeshet, but linguistically we can very legitimately call mitkadeshet kinyan, right? It reverses the polarity. Before we were asking, oh, we have Kinyan, and you know, what's going on with Kiddushin, right? Now what's happening, according to this, is the opposite, right? We have Kiddushin, and we're saying, oh, but Kiddushin, you know, even though it's Kiddushin, right, you can still call that Kinyan. Even though what you're doing is totally, you're being Mekadesh, right? It just flips our perspectives. For Rashi, Rashi is saying, it's not that we're telling you anything about something about Kiddushin. We're actually telling you something about Kinyanin. Okay? Now, just to like give you, you know, the Golesh a little bit into the world of Kinyanim, how do you create a Kinyan? What is a Kinyan? How do you acquire something? Right? It's a good question, right? We're used to the idea that there are formal legal Kinyanim, they work, but why? Right? How do you transfer ownership from one person to another? So the Sma says, how do Shtar Chazaka and Kinyan Sodar, King Chalipin, work? So he says, Nishtabdu Zeh LaZeh, they create a commitment between the two of them. Zeh Liknos V'Zeh Limkor, V'Shein Echad Yachol Lachzor Bo, right? And that it's a binding commitment. Dumi V'Kinyan Shtar Chazaka V'Kinyan Sodar. And then he says, he thinks Kinyan Kesef works differently. He thinks that Kinyan Kesef is actually that you're paying for it. You're giving value for the object. But Kinyan Shtar Chazaka and Sudar are about creating a commitment between the two of them. Right? So actually, it works out very nicely. Suddenly, we're like, oh, wait a second. What are Kinyanim? We know what Kiddushin is. We know Kiddushin is about creating commitment between two parties. Right? Says Lusma, that's actually what we're really trying to accomplish by Kinyanim in general. Right? How do you take an object and say, oh, 1 minute legally it's mine and 1 minute legally it's yours? First, what we need to do, right, we need to carry a commitment to transfer between the two of us to acknowledge that ownership has moved on, right? It's about...
Isn't there a huge machloket over whether...
Pardon?
Isn't there a huge machloket over whether Kinyan Sudar is even allowed in Kiddushin?
Yes. We're going to definitely... And that's a sugya that we're going to spend a lot of time on. But he's just talking about...
How can we learn from Kinyan Sudar about the essence of Kinyan?
Well, in that, in terms of the essence of Kinyan or the essence of Kiddushin? First of all, there are shittos who think that maybe you really could, that merely maker adin midoraisa, Kinyan Sudar should work by Kiddushin as well. Or not necessarily. Tosos understands Rashi that way. Rashi's not saying that. But Tosos says, like, oh, how could Rashi say that? Here are my 500 kashas. You look at Rashi and you're like, how could Rashi say that? And you're like, oh, that's not what Rashi said at all. But, right, the Sma is talking about, in general, in the world of Kinyanim, the Sma is actually trying to say that Kinyan Kesef is different than the other Kinyanim. Because he thinks that Kinyan Kesef, we're going to also get into this, don't worry, that Kinyan Kesef is about is that giving value. The other Kinyanim, he says, aren't about giving value, they're about creating commitment. Okay, now, how else can you understand it? So just another shita, which is a very gishmak, although it's a little bit less mainstream, right? The idea of commitment, I think, is very, 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 very basic in Kinyan, right? The Kinyan, sometimes what we do actually is when we want to create commitment between to someone to do something, right? They do a Kinyan, even though they're not actually transferring ownership on an object. Right? And the idea is basically that what? Kinyanim are essentially about creating, right, nishtabdu zeh lazeh, creating a commitment between two parties, a binding commitment between two parties. And then, right? Then, the binding commitment means forces the object to change hands, right? So maybe you could do that also. If you and I want to agree that I'll do something, right? Then maybe if I do it, we could do a kinyan, right, to make that a binding agreement, even if there are no objects that are changing ownership, okay? That's a big sugya. We do kinyan sudar for that a lot. Sometimes when we want to make shlichim, we do kinyan sudar. When you want to sell the chametz to the guy, right? What you do is you do a kinyan sudar with the rabbi, right? The problem is that the rabbi is not buying your chametz, right? The guy is buying the chametz. He's just a shliach. So why are you giving a sudar to the rabbi? Sorry. Right. So the answer is it's a way of creating like a binding commitment, right? That you are empowering him with these legal rights. Even though you're not actually transferring any ownership yet, right? The chametz is yours until he sells it to the guy. He didn't buy it, right? The rabbi doesn't want your chametz on Pesach, right? So I think that's a key point that Rashi's doing for us is saying, don't start talking to me about, oh, how is Kiddushin a Kenyan, right? Kiddushin is Kiddushin. Irisin is Kiddushin, right? But Kiddushin can be called a Kenyan. Or Kinyanim, right? Kinyanim can also be Ikri, you know, Kiddushin can be called a Kinyan because Kinyanim are Nishtabdu Zelazeh. Right? Now that just changes our whole perspective because now the idea of how could you create Ishus by being Mishtabdu Zelazeh is actually not surprising at all. Right? We said Ishus is all about commitment. Especially Erisin is all about commitment. Okay? Now, just a more extreme version of this a little bit. Or, I don't know, more extreme, but like about the idea of flipping the flipping the polarity is the Shita of Levi. When it comes to Kinyan Sudar, so Rav says, you're Kone, Bame Konin, Rav Amar Bekelev Shal Kone, that I, the person who wants to be Kone, right, let's say I want to own something, or the rabbi wants to, you know, buy something from me, so he gives me a pen, a handkerchief, right, and I'm Kone, right? And Sabaki, then he is Kone in return the something else, right? So he gives me his pen, and in return he gets my water bottle, right? So there's a switch, right? That makes a lot of sense. We're going to get into that a lot when we do the Sigya of Chalipen and Kinyan Sudar and Kiddushin. Levi Amar Bekelav Shal Makne. The person who is giving over the object, right? I want to give one of you my water bottle. So in order to be makna to you, what I do first is I take a handkerchief and I give it to you. You're kone the handkerchief, and by being kone the handkerchief, you're kone my bottle. Okay? So the Gemara asks the following question. The Gemara says, are you doing a kinyan agav? Right? By karka, there's a rule that if you sell someone karka, you can also sell them metaltolin. Right, it's a question of the Gemara, whether it has to be metaltolin that are on that karka, or either any metaltolin, and that by being kone the karka, you also kone the metaltolin, right? Because metaltolin are secondary to the karka, so by being kone the big fish, you're also kone the small fish. Is that what's going on here, asks the Gemara? The Gemara says, no, of course not, right? That's only done by karka. Here, I'm giving you, I don't know, let's say I'm selling you my house, right? And I'm giving you a handkerchief. You're not going to be kone my house agav the handkerchief, right? Through the handkerchief, right? You can't say, oh, the house is tefel to the handkerchief. So why are you kone? So Levi says, you got to give, in order to give something to you, I'm going to give you something else, and you're going to be kone that. And behahihana dekamekabel minei gamar ve'aknile. Through the hana that you get, that I get, by you accepting my gift, I'm makna the house. Hana, right? So Rashi explains, Hanas kabalaso mimenu matnasakli, the gishmak that I get from the fact that you are mekabel this gift from me, shechishvo the kabal mimenu matana, because you are like, you don't accept gifts from people you don't like, right? By accepting a gift from me, right? And he's like, so happy he gives you the karka. Right? What's happening? I give you a gift. I think the simplest explanation is I give you a gift. By giving you a gift and you accepting, that creates a certain relationship between us, right? Right? It's a, you know, anytime you have like, right, some foreign diplomat comes or, you know, two parties meet, right? The giving of a gift is a way of creating a certain connection between people, right? Says Levi, if you want to be makneh something, one way to do that is to give the person a gift, right? And then, right, by creating that relationship with the other party, then you can also just transfer ownership through that, you know, acknowledgement of your mutual relationship. Now, that's extreme. We don't paskin like Levi, right? But what he's saying is, it's not only that, you know, the kinyan is there to create some sort of transfer and some sort of relationship between the parties, right? But it's only there as a hechitimsi. The creating of the relationship between the parties is the kinyan, right? That's what kinyan is, essentially. Now, you have other ways of doing that. But here, by giving a gift and creating a, right, friendly, you know, a friendly relationship between the two parties, you're koneh. Which is just fascinating, right? So when we say, oh, you know, it could be, right? When we say, oh, that kinyan is going to create marriage. So one option within that is say, okay, you know, maybe it's really a classic kinyan, right? But maybe, and it's like some sort of acquisition, or, right, what Rashi actually says, even though Rashi's not saying this, Rashi's saying, oh, well, it's just a linguistic point. You can ignore it, basically, right? But what Rashi sort of tells us on the side is what? That when we say kinyan, what kinyan really means is either creating a relationship between two parties, as we saw in Shitas Levi about kinyan sodar, or it's about creating binding commitments between two parties. Right? Now, the idea that creating a relationship between two parties and creating binding commitments between two parties would constitute right, part of marriage and part of kiddushin is very, very, very self-explanatory, right? That's what we were talking about for the first few shiurim, right? Kiddushin is all about creating commitment, creating relationship. And the more you want to say that it creates real ishas, the more you could say that it also is creating the relationship as well. Okay. I think we'll have to stop here. Questions? Yeah.
I want to clarify. Oh, go first. Sorry. Okay, thanks. I just want to clarify something with the Shita of Rashi. I'm not sure if I understood it correctly, but it's almost like he's trying to translate like Levi's opinions into financial terms. Like the idea of there like it being a matanara ba, and it's on this basis of this like matanara ba that you're exchanging it. Is that him trying to find like some like financial equivalent, or am I reading too much into it?
No, perfect. Very good. Very, very good, Hara. Right, Rashi's almost like that's like too extreme, right? We have a problem. Okay, here's the intent. There's a rule that if someone is a very important person, like the, I don't know, the president of, you know, I don't know, we have to find a place where being president of is important now, you know, where it's like you're proud to like get a gift from them. It's not really true in any country anymore. I don't know. Yeah, Ruby Rivlin, he's a nice guy, right? Yeah, the president of Israel gives you a gift, right? Accepts a gift from you, right? You feel very important, right? You just gave a gift to the president of Israel, right? So there's a lot of hana involved. That hana could be given a dollar value, right? So in general, we say that the acceptance of an adam chashuv of your gift is actually valuable, and therefore you can, if you, in certain cases, assuming you formulate it properly, you can treat that as something worth money, okay?
So
1 second. What's the problem? Here, by Levi, the guy's not an Adam Chashuv, right? He's a random other guy. So Rashi there is kind of trying to say, oh, but because you really feel geshmak, it's almost as if you got money out of it. And yeah, like, it's almost like he actually handed you over money, right? So you're pointing out, oh, Rashi, right? Rashi's making this like real effort to try to explain Levi in financial terms.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I don't know if I'm supposed to do this, but then trying to feed that Rashi into the Sma, there's this idea that like even the commitment itself has a dollar value on it, right? Because there's you said there's like a chiluk between Shar Kinyanim and Kesef.
I would say that what Rashi is trying to do over there is Dafka say that like Chalipin or Sudar is in the category of Kinyani Kesef. The Sma makes a chiluk between
Kinyani and Kesef. Exactly.
And Kinyan e Chalipin Shtar and Chazaka.
So it kind of undoes the Smad's Chiluk because he's saying there's not a difference between commitment and value because the commitment itself has a value.
No, not the commitment, but like the Hana that you get out of it. I mean, it's sort of very telling. I'm going to use Rashi there is trying to like give it a dollar value, but by seeing how abstract Rashi has to go in order to give it a dollar value, just sort of proves that like Levi's not really talking about the dollar value. And what I was saying about the Adam Chashev is just a proof that we have an actual rule. We have a rule of thumb about dollar values of these things, right? And Levi's Shita doesn't meet it. Because the point is that Levi's Shita is not really about the dollar value. Right? Rashi's trying to say, oh, no, but there really is a dollar value. But what comes out from Levi is that you don't need the dollar value, right? Maybe you need to say, oh, but it's in if you're trying to be makneh chafatzim, so you need some sort of value, right? But the point of Levi is that to say that there's real dollar value is impossible. So Rashi says, oh, it's like it's almost as if there's dollar value. And that's because Rashi's trying to explain how it's like still like a, you know, how's like Levi kind of say that just the relationship alone.
Does it have to be about money or just about there being some sort of value to exchange?
So I think like it's because Rashi thinks in general, you're right. I think it's about the exchange. I think Rashi thinks that chalipin is about exchange. And if it's about exchange, then you have to have some value, right? I think Shad of Levi, or at least for many people, many Shitos think about Levi, that we're not talking about exchange at all in terms of value. I was just bringing Rashi to show how far away we are from, right? How it's all about like the relationship, and then Rashi saying, "Oh, but we can give a dollar value to that relationship because it's so gishmak, right?" But it's even with Rashi, who's trying to make it about value, he still has to be modeh that it's really about the relationship, right? But I think the pshat of Levi is just that no, like you don't even need to put dollar value on it because it doesn't meet our dollar value requirements, and it's just about the relationship there. I think to say that a relationship without any commitment, right, is sufficient is a huge chiddush. I think that's also why we don't really accept Levi. I think Rashi is trying to say, oh, Levi, you know, maybe we could have accepted Levi because maybe Levi's not as extreme as what he sounds like he's saying. Right? But I think Levi himself, and the reason why we don't accept Levi, is he just says, you just need some sort of relationship. You don't need any formal mice or sort of any switch of value, right? To say that it works as a Kenyan mamonos, I don't know, if you smile at someone in the street, could that be a Kenyan? Right? That's you know what I'm saying? So like, that's what's problematic about Levi. What Levi tells us, so Rashi tries to get out of that, right? That's what Rashi's trying to avoid. What that tells us though, is that for Levi, Kenyanim are really about the relationship and the value is secondary. If it exists, if it's necessary at all. For us, we're not going to willing to go that far. But if you just one last thing, if you go back to Rav, right, we'd like to say, oh, Rav argues on Levi, right? But how does Rav argue on Levi? What's the obvious explanation of Kinyan Sadar or Chalipin in general? I have a cow and you have a donkey and we swap. Quid pro quo, right? That's not the language that the Gemara uses, right? It's Bekelev Shalkona, Dinichale Lekone, Delehevi Makne Kone, Kihechi Deligmar Vilikni Le. I want to give you something so that you will decide, right, and really agree and want to be Makne, your object to me. It's not that I'm giving you a Hefza, right, in place of quid pro quo, your object. It's that I'm giving you something so that you, right, decide, you know, to feel like you want to give it to me. It sounds very much that, again, even Rav, who argues, just thinks that the direction of the relationship has to be more substantive and it has to be me giving you a gift so that you give me a gift. But it's not.
I think that's interesting because I kind of, like, I read like, you know, root Perek Dalet as like proto-Chalifin and it's Shalaf Ishna Alov and Atan L'Re'ehu, so that seems pretty mutual.
who's doing the shalafish in Natan L'Rehu? That's the hemshech of the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Whose shug is going to?
Okay.
And that's what they argue about that. The Gemara says, it was Plony's. Rav says it was Boaz's shoe, and Levi says it was Plony's shoe. No, the opposite. Right? Boaz is being Koneh. So according to Levi, it's Plony's shoe, and according to Rav, it was Boaz's shoe. Right? That's exactly it. Whose shoe is, whose shoe dropped? Okay, Yisro Koach. I think we'll stop here. And our next show will be on Wednesday, right?
Yes.